Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I adamantly disagree with that position. I disagree adamantly with both Charles Barkley, with George Karl, with Shaquille O'Neal. And I'm quite disappointed that folks in the world of sports would have this opinion at this particular moment in time. I want to emphasize that obviously safety is first. And if safety is an issue, there is nothing to talk about. But in the end, I don't want to hear about, oh, excuse me, there's going to be an asterisk attached to the season. Tim Duncan and the San Antonio Spurs won a 50-game season in 1998, 1999. We still remember him as a champion. LeBron James won his first title, if I recall correctly, during that lockout shortened season when only 66 games were played in the 2011-2012 season because of the NBA lockout. Nobody's taken that title away from him. Let's also remember the importance of this reality. You know, being gone, I understand that it's one thing for a lockout to take place and then for you to have a season because you're in the flow going into the postseason as opposed to stopping midway and then all of a sudden just embracing the playoffs. I get that part. But here's the flip side that I don't think anybody has brought up. You know something? Last time I checked, Jay and Max, it's not just about your exploits. It's also about your discipline and focus. I want to see who's in shape when they come back. Because last time I checked, I remember that the NBA suspended the season. They didn't cancel it, which means as a professional athlete, you knew there was a possibility that you would be back. What kind of shape are you in? Did you take care of yourself? Did you take care of your body? First of all, the coronavirus is enough inspiration to do that. Secondly, you coming back to resume a season was there as well. So to me, it comes down to those individuals that took care of themselves and prioritized being professionals will be ready to go at a moment's notice. Those who didn't won't be.
So I like that point, too. Who's serious? Who's still disciplined? Who's still working hard? I'm going to find that out in the NBA and the NHL. I like that. I like that point by Stephen A. But the asterisk business? Come on. And again, I've said before on the asterisk, tell me who wins. Tell me who wins and I'll tell you if there's an asterisk. If in basketball it's the Lakers or the Clippers or the Bucks, a team that's been, you know, wired. The Bucks have had the best record in basketball for 2 years running. The Lakers are the number one seed in the West right now and we're playing the absolute best and they have probably the best player in the world on their team, or Kawhi Leonard. If he wins, is anyone going to say there's an asterisk? No, I say those were the best teams that pulled through. And same on hockey, and I know Murray disagrees with this a little bit, but if the Bruins win, there's no asterisk. They're the President's Trophy winner now. They went to Game 7 of the finals last year. They've been one of the best teams in hockey for 2 years running. And if they punch through and win a cup, there's no asterisk. They're the best team. I'd say the same thing about the Blues. I'd say the same thing if Sidney Crosby won. I'd say the same thing if Alex Ovechkin and the Capitals. If that team won, if you're a great team, we know you're a great team, and you win, there's no asterisk. Now, in basketball, if Kevin Durant comes back and somehow the Nets go on a run and win, I'll put an asterisk. If the Celtics win, I'll put an asterisk. Because they're not playing road games as they would in a normal environment, or the Sixers, or a team like that. If a team comes out of the woodwork in basketball, when teams almost never come out of the woodwork, I think you could say asterisk. But if the best teams prevail like they usually do, there's no asterisk. What do you think, Maz?
Well, basketball is way easier to look at than hockey is, just because it's not all that unusual. And I say relatively for a lower seed in hockey to make a run and win the cup. So, I have a hard time putting an asterisk on hockey no matter what. I just think the nature of the sport is such that the playoffs are a completely different animal. There's an arbitrary nature to the game, all of it. And so, you know, that one to me is going to stand probably no matter what. Basketball is a little different, but I also think that, you know, I mean, the rules are the same for everybody. So, you know, I'm reluctant to put an asterisk on anything. We've all known what the landscape was in this whole scenario from the very beginning. It might be a while. They might be out for a while. It's incumbent upon everybody to stay in shape. The one real asterisk to me is Brooklyn. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that one is like, you know, because of a global pandemic, the second or third best player in the league got to come back from an injury and they were able to win a championship. Like, that's a legitimate asterisk. But, you know, the rest of them, because guys might be out of shape or what have you, sorry, it's the same deal for everybody.
Yeah, everyone's going through this same thing, so it's not like a team gets an unfair advantage through this, unless it's Brooklyn, because, you know, those guys are now healthy. You know, Kyrie was shut down. Durant was supposed to be done for the year. If they come back and they somehow want it, fake. And the other thing, too, is if they shorten the postseason, I'm sorry, like if they went from 7-game series to 5 or something like that, I think you can make a case for an asterisk.
So, no, so not even. But again, tell me who wins. Like, if there's a 5-game series and an 8 seed beats the 1 seed, because there's no home court and there's no travel and it's 3 out of 5 versus 4 out of 7, I think you'll look back and say, boy, that, you know, that would not have happened under normal circumstances. But an asterisk? No, I don't. If the Lakers win, if the Lakers and the Clippers play a 5 or 7-game series and the Lakers then beat the Clippers in 5 or 7 games and then they go on and beat Giannis and the Bucks in 5 or 7 games, I'm sorry, that is not an asterisk. He beat the best players on the planet, the best teams in the world, and that is what it is. There's no asterisk there. I am sorry. But again, let me see what it looks like. So your thoughts on this, thoughts on baseball. Here's Bill in Rhode Island. Hi, Bill.
How you doing, Fauga? First quick note on the baseball. I was a great baseball fan for many years, and I'm older now, obviously. But I'll tell you, it is so boring. Even with these new rules that they're trying to come up with, I just think the game's lost so much from people that just get bored of watching it. I can't finish a game.
Okay, I know, Billy, because the players have ground it to a halt. The players have absolutely halted the progress of the game, and I think the owner's got to take control of the game back from the players.
Yeah, something's got to be done because you can't get through 9 innings. It's impossible.
Okay, Billy,
even if you love baseball.
I know, Billy. What else you got?
And the second thing I want to do about this thing about the other sports opening up, my feeling on that is if you're going to open up, open it up. Let's not be talking about coronavirus while they're playing the game and all this other bull. If you're going to be willing to play under the conditions that there are, let's play it.
I'm with you. If you're going to open up, you got to be willing to take the risk that you may contract the coronavirus. And if you're not willing to do it, then you shouldn't play and you should vote against it as a union and shut it down. And we've been over this the last couple of days. There's no way you're going to be able to completely preserve a completely pristine bubble. Something's going to slip through the cracks. The UFC had an event where they had a couple hundred people this past weekend, and one fighter and his corner crew of 3 guys slipped through the cracks and tested positive. So if you can't keep 300 people clean, you're not going to keep 3,000 clean. Someone's going to test positive, and you can't shut it down. And that has to be agreed to by everybody. And that I think, is becoming very clear as well. Here's Tom in New Hampshire on the NHL, which ties into this. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you my take on going ahead with the 2014 potential playoff. So just hear me out. If you go with the 2014 potential playoff, that means that, you know, every team gets a shot. As in hockey, as we all know, when it comes down to it, especially in the East, 7 through 12 are within a point, maybe 4 or 5 points of each other right now. So I think the 24 team on each conference playoff is the way to go. On top of that, that gives, if you look at the standings today, that's Montreal, Boston,
yep.
First round.
Yep.
I mean, that's what everybody wants.
It's not what I want. It scares the crap out of me. What, Montreal gets in because you've let in over three quarters of the league gets in, and now Montreal, who has sucked all season long, gets in. And that's not going to be the format. The format is that teams like Montreal will have a little play-in round to get to the Bostons and the Tampas, the top seeds. So it's not exactly like that, but it's possible. It's possible. I mean, again, no travel, no fans. Carey Price gets hot. The next thing you know, Montreal goes on a run. I'm willing to predict it. I'm willing to predict it that if that's what happens, Montreal is going to pull something out of their arse. You're going to end up facing Montreal, and they're going to beat you because that's our lot in life as Bruins fans. That's coming. Like, I can just feel that.
I think I disagree with everything that guy said.
Go ahead.
Everything.
Go ahead.
Like, first of all, the idea of, you know, teams that are, you know, 6-7 points apart for the final few spots. Well, so what? How do they end up after 82 games? Same deal. They've played enough games in the NHL for us to know who the good teams are and who's not. And again, it's an unfortunate break for the world that everything got stopped. But we were at a stage where we had a pretty good idea whether you belonged or you did not. So if it ends up being that we're going to invite just playoff teams, as we were talking about with the NBA, and that because that gives it a better chance of success, so be it. If you weren't in the playoffs when this whole thing got shut down and you played a couple of fewer games, and I know that that's not fair, too bad.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just the way it goes.
It's not going to happen. So, like, I mean, believe me, you're right, Maz. I agree with that. Just the 16 teams that are in, you're in. It should be by point percentage, not points, but be that as it may. If you're on the bubble and you're just out, well, too bad. SOL. You know, you had enough games to determine it. We need to get this thing in, crowbar it in, so we're just bringing 16. You're right. That's what it should be. It's not going to. It's not going to. The question is whether the tournament's going to be 20 teams or 24, and whether Montreal's in or Montreal's out. If Montreal's in, watch out. If Montreal's in, watch out. You know the porking is coming.
Okay, so look, if the question then is 20 versus 24, which again, just to be on the record, I'm against, then it better be 20. But for the same logic that we were using with the NBA, that you got to keep the number a little bit smaller. I like this idea. The teams that are out, you're out. That's it. It's over. We can't bring in teams and waste people's time with teams that suck. Sorry, not going to happen.
Continue with your calls, and we check in with Chris Mannix right after this.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
And Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, with everything going on, a lot of people talking about the asterisk. Yeah, this season really doesn't count. What do you say to people who think that?
I say hello to my big friend. He needs a friend.
Yeah. He needs a friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Larry needs a buddy back there. And so, yeah, I'll take it. You know what? If the other teams don't like it, just the Mavs are ready. We're ready to take this. And I will say this, though. I think there's an advantage to younger teams versus older teams, because it's a little bit harder to get those old bones going.
Right.
Where young guys can just jump back on the court, and you know, you're not in basketball shape. It's a little bit easier for them to get in shape. So, you know, this asterisk stuff is ridiculous. And you know, go back to the 98-99 season. The Spurs got it in the lockout season. Yeah, Larry looks good to them. Those rings look good to them too.
Mark Cuban talking about the Larry O'Brien Trophy. You didn't see any asterisk either. I think the asterisk is ridiculous. Unless the Celtics win, then I'm going to put an asterisk on it. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated and NBC Sports Boston joining us. Chris, what are you hearing?
Well, I'm really more optimistic than ever that they'll find their way back at some point. And there are two big reasons that they developed the last week. One, it's become abundantly clear that they don't give a damn when next season starts. You know, whether it's December or even January, you know, there's a strong belief and even a desire in the league office to push that as far as possible to at least give themselves the opportunity to have a regular season with fans in the stands. And if you don't care when next season starts, every deadline you set or every timeline you make is artificial. Like, you can keep kicking the can down the road and say, you know, mid-June comes along and be like, well, we think maybe we can do something you know, in mid-July. So let's wait till then to make a decision. I mean, you could put this, push this as far back as, like, you know, mid-August if you wanted to make a decision on next season. The other thing that I don't think gets enough attention is, you know, the NBA, it was interesting to see the NBA allow Orlando and the two LA teams to begin asymptomatic testing. And that's been something that I'd been curious about, because up until the last couple of weeks, the message I've been getting was, look, we can't be seen as taking away testing from other areas, or be hoarding testing, or to be even doing testing for asymptomatic people and players when other places around the country, they're not as readily available. But the fact that there are still testing problems in this country, and the NBA is allowing its teams to test asymptomatic players and staffers, that to me symbolized the league kind of moving the goalposts a little bit and saying, all right, well, we still want testing to be better nationwide, but it doesn't have to be perfect in order for us to come back.
All right. Do you think the players want to do it, Chris? And you know, what do you know about the nonsense or the back and forth yesterday? Were they polling the players? Were they not polling the players? The conference call with the superstars like Giannis and LeBron, et cetera. Where do you think that all stands?
Well, the polling actually, that happened. Like, players, I know, got those questions. The question is, was it sanctioned by the NBA Players Association? They seem to, you know, according to Athletic, they said they didn't. I don't know what was going on there. But the players that got those text messages, like, it's kind of dumb to boil it down to, you know, swipe left for yes, swipe right for no. Like, that's, it's not as simple as that.
Right.
Like, you need to know, you know, what happens when somebody tests positive. Where are we going to play? How long are we quarantined? I mean, there's way too many variables now that are unknown.
Yeah. How much money are you making?
You know? Right. Like, exactly. Well, I mean, I would say this, like, if you want to boil it down and make it simple, like, the vast majority of players, 90%+, I would say, want to play and want to come back. And maybe it strictly is, you know, a financial decision. I'm sure for most of them it is. But I haven't heard too many, if at all, suggestions that maybe we scrap this season and go on to the next.
So, Chris, if I were to ask you right now, what would you say the biggest obstacle is? And you touched on this a little bit, because I was just going to ask you, is it the willingness of the players? Is it the availability of testing? Is it logistics? Like, if I were to say to you, what is the number one biggest obstacle still in the way right now, what is it?
I would say, I mean, look, it's a little bit of everything, not to fudge it, but I would say the biggest obstacle is probably the logistics of it. Look, the NBA, you know, there's talk of Disney World, and I'm certain that that's a possibility. But I think the NBA wants to go to Vegas, and they want to be, you know, in an area that they're comfortable with, working with partners that they've worked with a lot. And that's the Vegas city and hotel officials and all that goes into it. And look, Nevada's just not there right now. Vegas is not there right now. You can't do that. You can't schedule stuff right now. The opening of facilities is a first step, right? Because you can't, like, agree to open a training camp unless you're able to have guys playing 5-on-5. You're not going to do that. You're not going to have training camps open and everybody doing one-on-one drills. So once you start seeing, you know, 5-on-5s in every facility that's open, because remember, not every facility is open right now. I think it's only about 20 or 22 of the facilities that are open. Once they open up and you start seeing everybody allowed to play organized games, I think that's when you can really start to think about and have crystallized when you might be able to play.
What do you think, again, Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, what do you think we're looking at in terms of format? Just the 16 teams, any regular season games or non-playoff teams back inside the bubble playing, et cetera? What do you think it's going to look like?
Yeah, I've been pretty consistent, Mike, that I think it's the playoffs. I know there are financial reasons to get the non-playoff teams in, but, I mean, it's just goofy to have the Cleveland Cavaliers come back for 3 weeks and play five meaningless regular season games. It just doesn't, you know, to go through a training camp and then do that, it doesn't make a lot of sense. There's talk about a variety of scenarios to deal with teams that might be on the fringes. Maybe it's a play-in tournament that, you know, gives the teams like New Orleans and Sacramento and I think Portland in the Western Conference that have an outside chance of getting that last playoff spot a chance to go in. But I think that the NBA is perfectly fine accepting the reality of just the playoff teams making it. The format's the big question. I mean, you guys were talking before I came on and playing that soundbite about the asterisk. There's an asterisk if there's not a traditional playoff format. There just is. Like, if you do best of three first round, best of five second, and best of seven in the finals, That's not a real playoffs. It's just not. And Mark Cuban saying nobody puts an asterisk on the 99-2000 season, that's disingenuous because that season had a traditional playoff. It didn't start on time, but it had a traditional playoff. So the key for preventing the kind of asterisk debate is making sure that you have seven-game series beginning with the first round, and that is something that Adam Silver brought up on that call with the players. So clearly he's got the integrity of the postseason in mind.
So, Chris, the idea of bringing back just the playoff teams, again, is becoming more and more appealing to me because I think it increases the chance that the quote-unquote bubble will work, right? Like, you just have fewer people. Yep. Your chances of that working are better. But it does raise the question for me now, and I'm thinking on the fly here. What about those guys, you know, so guys who come back get paid and the guys who don't? Like, you know what I mean? How does that deal with the salary, or is it just regular season pay in the NBA?
No. It's for most of the players. I think it's like 90%. They're paid year round. They're paid through the financial year. So I think it just started. They had their pay garnished for the last pay cycle, and that will continue based on the revenue. So non-playoff players are still going to get paid in the same cycle as playoff players. It's just, it's a little in the weeds and convoluted. It would take forever to get into, but it boils down to, like, they've got the TV money. In order not to have next season completely screwed up with these TV deals, they've got to come back and make good on the contracts with ESPN, with Turner. And to come back in the regular season would help with the regional contracts, but I think that's something that's less concerning to the league right now.
Chris, so you handicap it on the floor. If we're empty buildings, or, you know, near empty buildings, call it, and no travel, and this sort of setup, who does it benefit? Who does it hurt?
I couldn't even begin to guess.
Like, it's come on, like, okay, well, hold on. Let me help you. The Celtics is a 3 seed. Instead of being on the road in the second and third rounds, and the NBA Finals, instead of being on the road for the final 3 rounds of the playoffs, they're at neutral sites. You don't think that helps a team like the Celtics?
I think it absolutely helps road teams. Like, no question. Like, it gives you a bonus. However, the other variables are far more important, like who's been sitting on their ass for 3 months. I mean, is there a three-point shooting team out there like the Houston Rockets that suddenly find themselves so incredibly rusty that they're shooting 12% from three, you know, during the postseason? Are the teams like Gary Cuban say, younger teams, a team like Memphis or Dallas, are they able to run up and down and play playground basketball? Or are the savvier teams with veterans who have been taking care of their bodies, are they in better shape? There's just... Look, in a basic way, yes, if you don't have to go on the road to, like, Milwaukee or L.A. at a Game 7, you benefit. But I think there are far, far more important things, like what the hell these guys look like when they come back and what shape they're in, then that matter more.
Yeah, so with that, Chris, you've mentioned with these appearances on this show that conditioning's been a concern throughout the league since the shutdown. So do you have any new news on who's actually in shape and who's maybe put on the COVID-19 because they're sitting around pounding ice cream and cookies?
I haven't heard about the COVID-19 yet from anybody, and nobody would tell you that at this point anyway. Like, there's probably half a dozen guys I stay in contact with, and, you know, I talk to them about their Zoom workouts, and I kind of probe that. Like, does anybody look like they've been just doing nothing? But nobody's going to cop to that just yet. But one thing I'm sure of, there will be somebody that comes back looking like Sean Kemp. I mean, there's too much time that's passed, and there's too little that the guys have been able to do. There's going to be somebody that has passed on the pound.
Aren't you looking forward to that, Maz? Seeing who got
fat. Oh, totally. Yes, absolutely.
Who got
fat. I want to see who the fattest bastard in the league is. I absolutely want to see it.
Chris, give me a candidate. Give me a candidate who's a little on the borderline when it comes to conditioning to begin with.
You've got to go older, right? And I honestly haven't thought about it too much. You've got to go an older player.
I mean, is James Harden in good shape? He seems soft to me.
Harden could be one of those guys. Yeah, he's never been the bully out there on the floor. But realistically, it's
how
like
about Zion.
Yeah, I mean, younger guys. He was big. You know, when he came back and he was starting to lose the pounds. I don't know. I have to think about those. There's going to be somebody that comes back. It's like what if Russell Westbrook comes back not looking like the Greek god that he did, prior to the stoppage?
I mean, oh, no. This I want. I want someone to come back and us to go, look at that guy's ass. You see, look at that guy. What did he do?
Seriously, Zion's a good one, man. He could come back looking like Bedard, for crying out loud. I wouldn't rule that out. Or I'd be eager to see the Lopez brothers, too, because they're brothers. Like, you know, they're probably hanging out, eating chips, playing video games together, and then all of a sudden they come back looking like absolute whales.
Well, Doncic is Doncic a little soft?
Doncic, he was soft when he came into the league between year one and year two. He muscled up, but you know he's been overseas the entire time. So, and by the way, that's another part of it that I'm sure they're going to figure something out. But there's a lot of good players that are overseas, and you know who knows how long this travel ban is going to be in place. But some stuff's going to have to be worked out to get these guys back over.
Chris, thanks as always. We appreciate it, man.
You got it, guys.
Okay,
see you, Chris.
Chris Mack, yeah, Sports.
Zion Street. Sneakers will be popping all over the place like they were a Duke. That's got Zion's got weight problem written all over. Oh,
someone else just tweeted me another good one. Nikola Jokic, who's kind of doughy as it is.
Yeah, couple of those Euro guys are not exactly up to our fitness standard. Let's have a fat pool. It's time for a fat pool.
I'm in. I'm going to Google this. Someone has to have done this survey already. I love the idea. We should bet on this.
Okay, well, tweet these guys. They're on Twitter. Tweet in your suggestions. Who's going to be the fattest NBA player?
Kemba Walker.
When they finally come back. No, he's a rail, man. No way.
How? He can't work out. He's injured.
Okay, okay, fine. Put him on the board. Fat pool in the NBA coming up.
It's
also
too bad Sullinger's not in the league anymore.
A couple calls on the board. We'll get to you. There's a couple open lines at 617-779-0985. A couple NHL thoughts, I promise, right after this, too.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I saw this earlier today. I actually heard Solak and Bertrand talking about it earlier today and then went and read it. Fat NBA player, by the way, Maz, Joel Embiid.
Oh, good one. Yeah, I found him on a list, too. Yeah, he could be ginormous when he comes back. Seriously, he could be absolutely freaking huge.
Well, they were on him, but Barkley and those guys were on him. Even Barkley, when Barkley gets on you for your weight, you know it's time to maybe check yourself at the door. But
absolutely.
And a Celtic I would worry about is Marcus Smart. He's gotten a little pudgy in the past. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. Fat NBA players coming back who did not stay in shape. So this is something. We're talking about the return of sports. Here's something I read that it would work against the return of sports to the point where, like, I wonder what this guy was smoking. Ryan Rishog, I can't pronounce the name, is with TSN in Canada, covers hockey. He spoke to an infectious disease specialist. And this infectious disease specialist, who's not named, says that hockey may have to take extra precautions to be played safely during the pandemic. The doctor relayed a number of suggestions, again, to Rishog on Monday. You want to hear this, Maz? You ready?
Yes, absolutely.
Number one, full face shields, potentially modified to further reduce the spread of droplets. Okay, like fine. Number two, no fighting. Number three, no scrums after whistles for linesmen to break up. So not even scrums. Four, coaches practice social distancing and wear face masks on the bench. Five, wingers to maintain 2 feet of distance on faceoffs instead of the traditional crossing of sticks and leaning into the same space. So I don't know if they say wingers or centermen, but you have to maintain social distancing on the faceoffs. And no spitting on the ice or the bench.
So, yeah, I mean, if these were the rules that you just say, yeah, we're going to do it, and then you completely ignore it.
So listen, and I mean this with all due respect, because I do respect our doctors and our researchers and our infectious disease experts. I do. I want to show them the proper respect. But this guy should be crumpled up and stuffed in a locker and locked in a locker somewhere where we'll never hear from this guy again. Dude.
You know, when they asked this guy about football, he said no blocking.
I mean, the forwards have to maintain 2 feet of distance on faceoffs instead of the traditional crossing of sticks and leaning into the same space. No scrums after the whistles for a linesman to break up. No scrums in the play. They're going to come back and play playoff hockey and not have scrums and not have guys come together and face wash each other and scrum. Was this doctor watching the UFC over the weekend in Jacksonville where guys, some of whom who had tested positive or came into contact with a fighter who tested positive, were rolling around on each other in an octagon, rubbing each other's blood up and down each other's throats, and you're going to try and play hockey with full face shields, no fighting, no scrums, 2 feet of distance on face-offs, and no spitting? What? Is this guy nuts?
You might as well not even play.
Right. Exactly. So, look, the shields thing, you know, I'm not totally against. I get the logic there. And so, you know, now, look, players won't like it. My guess is that they would resist it. But then he starts to lose me fast. And at the end of the day, even with the shields, aren't we testing these guys before they play?
Yes.
In other words, if they're negative, then they can breathe on each other. This is the whole point. They've breathed on each other for years and decades, forever. For crying out loud. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of having the testing, is to know who's infected and who isn't. And if someone is infected, they don't play. You don't send them out there in a shield.
I mean, listen, if you can't play the game, don't come back. Like that, I'm all for pushing every boundary you can and modifying and coming up with different ideas. But if you can't play the game, then there's really no point in doing this. And thankfully, Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, said in this report almost immediately, I'm not sure, given the circumstances of our game, that any dramatic modifications will really be necessary. He said, we'll listen to our infectious disease experts and advisors, and we'll listen to whatever they might recommend. But I'm not sure that dramatic modifications will really be necessary. They shouldn't be. And if they are, then don't play. I mean, good God, you can't line up for a face-off or get into a scrum in front of the net after a shot on goal. There's really no point in playing the NHL playoffs.
Not at all. I would also say that if you're Brad Marchand, bad year to think about licking somebody. Okay? So keep your tongue in your mouth.
That's fair. No licking. But everything else, for crying out loud, play the game or don't. But don't give me this nonsense. So there was that one little NHL nugget that we wanted to give you. I keep promising your calls. We'll get to them. We're going to reset our football stuff as well. Coming up in our long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Maz.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Boston's home for sports.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Once these leagues start to include the players more, because to this point it's just the league and the owners, them talking about when they're going to restart, and they're not the ones who are out there who are going to be putting their lives on the line or the lives of their loved ones when they come home from work. Once it gets into the hands of the players, I think things are going to slow down a lot, and I think there's going to be a lot more discussion. I still think I'm hopeful that at some point in the fall, football can restart. I'm not optimistic about normal training camp starting at the end of July, but if I know anything from covering this league over 20 years, it's the NFL will ram anything through in the name of revenue. So who knows?
And that's Bedard on the return of the NFL. I know what he's saying about the players, but I don't see the NFL Players Association providing a unified front, a cohesive, unified, strong front like the Major League Baseball Players Association. There's no way. I just don't see it. I'm sure football players have concerns, but they will get steamrolled like they usually do. Some thoughts here before we reset our Tom Brady thought that we let off the day with. Here's Andrew in Charlestown on the return of baseball. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long-time listener. Love what you do. So I actually had a question. I was curious, and I want to preface this by saying that I do want baseball back, and I do think that the players need to give some concessions. I think there needs to be some give and take. But what I'm curious about, I guess, is why you guys are giving the owners such a benefit of the doubt in this situation. In my opinion, I do think that they will use whatever agreement they finally come into place for this year as a segue into the 2021 CBA negotiations. And I guess I'm just curious as to why you guys don't think that's the case.
Because I don't.
And then as a brief side note, if Zion's been sitting in New Orleans for the last 3 months, he's going to be 300 pounds. You can put me down for him in the fat pool.
Okay, well, we got one for Zion in the fat pool. He was in trouble before the pandemic, for crying out loud. I could get the owners in trouble for something they haven't done yet, or I could just say this is a unique situation that calls for a unique plan. And if the players want to come back and say, you know, when the real CBA begins, we know we gave you that for that half year, fine, but we're not going to do it now, then that's all they really have to do. There's not much of a precedent to say, well, you agreed to do it during the pandemic. It was a freaking pandemic, and everyone understands it. But even if they did, that sport needs a salary cap. So, like, I don't even mind that thing from the owners. I hope they're not using this to ram it through. I just think the players have to be willing to give and give more than they've given. And the stance they took on day one, Maz, I thought was kind of gross.
So, to me, to answer the caller's question, I say after the whole pace of play stuff, I trust the owners right now more than I do the players. I mean, that's crazy. I know, and it's absolutely nuts. And I'm just telling you, I have very little faith right now in the players to do what is in the best interest of the game and not themselves.
Would agree with you 100. Got full cosign right there, Maz. Frank on Cape Cod. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Felger, just a quickie on the fat pool. I'll go classic on you. What would happen if Dinner Bell Mel Turpin was still active now? Ooh. He ate his way out of the league when he was allegedly active. Tony, I wanted to say I work for a multinational, and I've been kind of telecommuting around the world. And there are a lot of, I know the business models are different, but there are a lot of sports franchises, and not just women's sports, which are going to be devastated, or Spanish basketball, but rugby in Australia is on the verge of going into bankruptcy. The teams in the Netherlands Football League are saying if they have to play behind closed doors or without fans going for the next 6 months or so, half of their teams are going to go out of business. German league's teams are saying the same thing.
Frank, so what's the point?
Is the U.S. business model able to sustain this kind of thing? I mean, is the pandemic going to be what gets rid of the Florida Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays?
I doubt it. There's revenue sharing. So if they're in trouble, they get propped up by the other teams. Another big problem with that sport. I don't think we're looking at that in any of these sports, even MLS. Which you're hearing is Murray's been reporting throughout the course of the day, I think, is doing something interesting, all going to a central location, Orlando, and playing one big league tournament, which sounds dramatic, but in soccer really isn't. That's why most soccer leagues work. The English Premier League is just one big round robin. You play everybody twice, one home, one road, and at the end of the season, whoever's won the most games has the most points. That's the champion. Like, that's the way they do it there. So having MLS go to that model is maybe even something they should be doing in the first place, frankly. But I don't think there's anything. The women's leagues, it's a good point, but I mean, we're not looking at that, Maz. Do you think?
I don't think so, but I'll tell you, I do wonder about some of the individual owners, and I wonder about some of the smaller leagues. For example, someone sent me an interesting story this morning that, you know, the Ultimate Fighting, Dana White's thing, they apparently had to borrow a big chunk of money at a high interest rate.
Is that right?
And yeah, so I thought I read somewhere like $300 million at something preposterous, like 11%. And the owner of the Houston Rockets apparently has a similar problem because he bought the team by leveraging bonds that he received from a casino, where those bonds are now worthless.
Huh.
And as a result, he's trying to borrow money at an interest rate of something like 15%.
That's Stidham's father-in-law.
Yeah. Okay. So I just think that there are stories out there about how some of these owners that aren't, you know, aren't what some of the bigger ones are,
yep,
that are backing themselves into a leverage corner because the only way they can get by right now is to take loans with high interest rates.
Adam in Medford, your thoughts on the return of the NBA?
Hey, guys. Oh, boy, would I love to see a Joel Embiid. Oh, my God, I need that right now. But I've been listening to sports talk radio for my entire adult life. I haven't been compelled to call in until now. And I guess I just want to agree with Mark Cuban. You know, if someone can get through the Eastern Conference, I don't care if it's the Nets, Kevin Durant, or the Celtics, or whatever, and then beat the Lakers. I mean, I know it will be a little different, but you guys are, you know, having trouble handicapping it as it is. I just think that's an amazing feat.
Your phone's not good enough. The one thing, to me, there's no asterisk. Unless a team from way back in the pack comes out of nowhere and just takes advantage of no fans and no travel, like, because in the NBA, that's a big deal. Game sevens on the road and such, like that, those are big. You know, the home team wins in the NBA playoffs at something like a 700 clip. In the NHL, it's 50-50. I don't think it's going to make one lick of difference in the NHL. 50-50 home road, that's the way it is with full fans and full travel. So I don't know if it's going to make a difference in hockey. In basketball, it's much different. One thing that Mannix said that I disagree with is he said the only asterisk comes as if there's a different playoff format and you have, say, three games in the first round and five games in the second. He says, well, that's not a real playoffs, and then so therefore an asterisk. To which I say, those first two rounds are so superfluous anyway. So, like, what? Because so what? LeBron beats the 8 seed in two games versus four? What's the difference? Like, no. If you want to get into conference finals and finals being 5 games or 3 games or something goofy like that, or one and done sort of stuff, yeah, okay, now we're talking. But the first round and the first two rounds should be shortened anyway. We're watching the Jordan thing. The first round was 3-5 games. That's the way it used to be. There's no asterisks there. You don't need 7 games in the first two rounds of the NBA playoffs. I think those things are too much as it is.
Well, so look, in theory, right, it increases the chance of an upset if you have a shorter series, in theory. But here's what I would tell you. Don't you know going in it's only 3 games?
Right.
In other words, win it in 3 games. Like, what? You know, I sort of look at it and say, again, everybody's playing by the same rules. So what, one team wins a series in 3 games and another one loses it? We make an excuse for the team that loses?
Okay, coming up next, we'll reset our opening takes and what I have a developing opinion on the pressure on Tom Brady down in Tampa. We'll get to that and some more insight from Greg Bedard after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.